Hi everyone, just to let you know before this podcast starts that our pre-season tour is now on sale. We've got four dates and four dates only. We're in Limerick, Killarney, Derry and Dublin. Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports NFL joins us in Cask in Limerick on Sunday, August the 11th. We make our first ever appearance in Killarney in Kerry with our first guest confirmed as Kerry GAA star Paddy Clifford on Tuesday, August the 13th. That Sunday we go to Derry and welcome Jason Bell on Sunday, August the 18th. And then the Thursday, August the 22nd, we welcome Phoebe Schechter, among other guests, including Owen Murphy, to the Woolshed in Dublin. We expect demand to be high for the vast majority of dates. We've seen it already in a pre-sale. It's live now, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland, or go to NFL Ireland on all socials to buy tickets, and we will see you there. Enjoy the podcast. Folks, Pro Football Ireland, as we get closer to the NFL draft and deep into this offseason, delighted to be in a little place called Mayo Bridge, County Down, a very small but picturesque, lovely village. Talk with probably the most famous man in Ireland at the minute, a guy that's really honestly put the NFL on the map. It's surreal to think this guest was in Dungannon a couple of months ago chatting, and he's now signed with the Saints, the IPP, went through the combine, Everham leader kicking with Charlie Smith. Falcha, lad, what's the crack?
How you doing, man? All good, yeah. Thanks for coming, and yeah, I suppose it's nice to be here in my home club, Mayo Bridge, so yeah. Yeah, it's great, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Mayo Bridge. Tell us the crack. So I drove in here this morning, and I stopped at O'Hare's.
Yeah.
And a wee lad stopped me and said, "Are you going to speak to Charlie?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am. It reminds me of where I'm from. It's like a little sort of village. For everyone that hasn't, like, I literally, there's no signage from Newry. So I was like, where am I going here? It's 5-10 minutes from Newry. Like, it's crackless.
I suppose it's ever just Hilltown and Newcastle or everybody. But yeah, we're here in Mayo Bridge. So yeah, hopefully it's gets a bit more well known now.
Well, I had to drive down here after you were very kind to drive to Dungannon that night, which is only, at the time of recording, it's like, I think it's like just over 2 months ago.
Yeah, just before I went out. It was like a week before I went out to Florida, so.
It's mental. Because we went out the next day to the States, and I think you lads, and we'll get into this in a bit, but you lads went to, you went to Florida, and you got there the day the Super Bowl started, wasn't it? Yeah.
We got there the Thursday evening, and then the Super Bowl was the Sunday. Mm. So yeah, literally before we even kicked the ball in Florida, we were watching the Super Bowl. So yeah, it was pretty good.
It was a bit of a mad week because even in Vegas, I'll not say who we met, but we were meeting people and they were saying, like, seeing these Irish guys going to the combine.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, just watch out. Because I was like, oh, we're chatting to two lads last week and one of them's from down, from near, all this. Like, I was like, just having a crack. But I have to say, like, we will get into Everton over the next, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
However long we get before you have to go and train. I believe you're very busy at the minute. Has it sunk in yet?
I suppose it has. Like, you probably, like, what is that? Like, you're nearly at the stage, like, what does that actually mean? Because you're like, has it sunk in? And then you realize, like, everybody you meet, like, it's just like an unbelievable, you know, it's just the support. It's just been unbelievable. Like, and like, even you're getting stopped in Newry and stuff. And you're like, well done, man. Like, I've never met you before.
And you're getting stopped in Newry, yeah. You're just walking around Newry
and stuff. And like, even just getting asked, you know, to go on to, like, you know, the late and stuff. And I was like, Jesus, this is getting big. Like, you know, I'm just some 22-year-old just like kicking the ball. Like, you know what I mean? So, it's nice to have that. Like, but at the same time, you know, it's nice to spend some time home with family and stuff. And I suppose because I'm going back next Sunday, so really only have 2 weeks at home. And then it's back to work, I suppose. And I just can't wait to get out there now.
Depending on other commitments, I think this is going out the day after you've got out of here. So you're definitely lucky in that sense. You'll not get mobbed in Dublin Airport. Talking about that, I think you were texting me. I don't even know why I was up so late.
Yeah.
You're on the way back from New York to come home.
Yeah, yeah.
Your family, your extended family meeting in Dublin Airport. Did you expect when you got from Dublin back up there, you knew it was going to be, it'll be good crack, but did you expect it to get to this level? Because, like, I don't know, you're like a TikTok celebrity at the minute, like, you can literally put a picture of yourself up and you get like with 10,000 likes. Everyone's going mad. Like, do you know
what I mean? I suppose. It was nice whenever I arrived at the airport. Like, I was just expecting my mum, my dad, and my sisters to be there.
Aye.
And then, you know, the whole Ryder family was there as well. Like, my aunties, uncles, and cousins, and grandparents as well. And just having them there, I was like, you know, we're going back to my house anyway, which is like an hour and a half drive, like, from the airport. Like, because, like, I was expecting just to meet them there. But then they drove to meet me. Whenever we're going to the same place anyways after, so it was a bit funny. Like, and, you know, had some nice signs and stuff, and, you know, with the Saints and things like that. But yeah, it was really good. Like, and just the whole general thing. Even like the phone has been absolutely insane. Like
your head's racked, lad.
Yeah, I just, and I feel bad, like, because you just can't get back to everybody. Like, and as much as you want to, like, you would spend all day writing back to people. And I'm like, I just go back to the point. I'm just some 22-year-old just like kicking a ball. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all it is. Like, and I'm not changed. Like, so.
Well, no, like, I can't imagine, but, like, my phone went, like, nuts.
Yeah.
It was, like, my wedding day wasn't even as busy on the phone, like, you know what I mean? Like, even after that. There. So I can't even, like, I'd say you were 50 times more than us. I was like, this is nuts. I was like, I'd turn my phone off. So, no, look, yeah, I can imagine you feel bad. Because if it was me, I wouldn't want to let people down. But the thing is, I think people are just, like, really, really happy for you. And it's great to see. I'm going to back up a bit here. Born in Daisy Hill. Yeah?
Yeah.
See, people now, like, so I was born in the 90s in Dungannon in Tyrone, so a lot of boys now, like, everyone's born in Craigavon.
Yeah, so your
passport doesn't say Tyrone, so at least you've got down on your passport, right?
Yeah. It could actually be our mom, maybe, I don't know.
See, that's controversial. I didn't know this. I didn't know it was half and half until, like, recently.
Yeah, Nuri's half down, half our mom, I think, so we'll claim it for down for now.
The man in the down jumper saying no more.
Yeah.
I don't want to annoy anybody from Armagh, especially being a Tyrone man, so I'm going to say no more. Growing up in Mayo Bridge, you go to St. Coleman's.
Yeah.
Talk to us about your sporting background underage, like St. Coleman's and stuff. So, for example, did you know sort of primary school, year 8, year 9, whatever, did you sort of know yourself, God, I'm going to play sport the rest of my life here? Or was there ever a goal before even the NFL, you know, like, oh, I love GAA, I want to play GAA? Or how did that work out for you?
Yeah, for me growing up, it was always just wanting to play for Mayo Bridge. Probably never really... especially in my teenage years growing up, I never thought it would be like, you know, I never had the aspirations like, yeah, I'd love to absolutely play for Down. Like, it was always Mayo Bridge focused because, you know what, when I was growing up, the Bridge were quite good, like, and, you know, you looked up to, you know, a lot of the, you know, the role models who had, you know, won 8 championships of the club, like, and you're like, geez, I'd love to be like them, you know, and I suppose probably whenever I was in school, I was like the youngest in my year, so like, I would have been quite
the complete youngest.
Yeah, I'm 26th of June, so like,
jeez, lad.
Yeah, literally a week of a year younger. Like, so I probably struggled, you know, to get into the teams. And I was on the panels, but there was maybe 1 or 2 years I started throughout my career in St. Coleman. And like, just I would have been undersized. I would have been one of those boys who didn't grow until I was like doing my A levels. Like, so you know, growing up, like I wouldn't have been playing in all the teams, and but I just had this love for kicking frees off the ground in football, like just from no age, like. And even though I was probably when I was in around 10, 11, that's when I really, you know, just started to like love watching the likes of Brian Sheehan from Kerry kicking frees, like, and just really looked up to him, and I just loved coming out here, just the pitches just behind us here, and just absolutely kicking ball for fun, like for 3 or 4 hours at a time. And yeah, again, my aspirations was to play for the Bridge. And whenever I first broke on the senior team then, I got on to the Down Under 20s, and that was the first time I'd represented my county and that was only when I was 19, 20. Like, so then from that point on, I was like, right, I want to be Down's number one goalkeeper, and that was my real goal. And then this came up then as a result 2 years later, and it's just like, things just kept taking off, along with the fact that I was a huge NFL fan. Like, so yeah, it's just unbelievable.
I will say this, because I know there's people probably listening to this, like, I know there's even people when you were in Dungannon that night, maybe have never seen the GAA before. So like Mayo Bridge, this is literally a club. There's a couple of massive pitches. Like, I was up there, I was joking to you, I went up to the wrong place.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday morning, 9:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. Loads of kids, young people out training. There's a real community vibe here. So I can imagine, like, you know, growing up, if you wanted to, you know, play for them, I can see exactly why. Do you play Macquarie Hogan at all?
I played Macquarie, yeah. That was probably when I really grew a bit. And I actually played, that was my first time in goals. Mr. Murray put me in goals, and I sort of went to him and was like, I was training out the field and I wasn't playing, like, and I was like, God, I have a good kick on me here, like, you know, how can
probably
I help the team? And I was like, you know, I actually went to him and says, look, I feel like I could maybe do a job in goals for you, like, and yeah, I went there, but obviously we were a wee bit young that year. We had the 5th years, were 2 years below us, they actually won the All-Ireland, and we probably just weren't good enough that year, like, but it was a good experience to play Macquarie football, like, and yeah, I suppose I can always say I'd done that, and it was a good experience, like.
Seeing you went back to your school last week, it looked great crack. Walking in like a local celebrity, you're lucky it was half term week. A lot of time, imagine it wasn't. You'd be absolutely mobbed. Yeah. Like, what year did Leeson Coleman's?
2019. Yeah,
pre-COVID. I'm asking this because I left my school in 2009.
Okay,
went to Halls and Uni in Belfast.
Yeah,
and the first game I watched, first NFL game I watched ever, was the Saints against the Colts.
Yeah,
I believe in the Super
that's
Bowl.
Right, yeah.
Ironically now, sitting here chatting to a Saints player,
it's absolutely insane. Like,
what was your first game? Do you remember?
First game was the Packers Cowboys in the 2016 divisional round. So it would have been like January 2017.
Was that Dez? Dez caught it, no?
No, that was, that was years, a couple of years. That was 2 years before that. It was Jared Cook down the sideline.
It feels like yesterday now, like.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. So that was my introduction, like, and I suppose that my mates would have been watching the NFL maybe a year or two before I was, like, and I would have been one of those people, like, what is this sport like? And then you actually watch and like, Jesus, this is class, like, you know, so... it's just a sport I really took into, and it's the sport I've watched the most, definitely. And even like coming home from school, you're putting on Good Morning Football and stuff like that. And yeah, that's how I really got into it. And just the way the Americans market it, like, it's just so accessible to, you know, to go onto YouTube and
it is
hear, you know, talk shows that, you know, talking about all the best players. And, you know, that's really how I got into it. Like, and I just from that point on, I just yeah, started watching it. And yeah, just a great love for it. Like,
it's a bit mad because, like, when I think back to that Saints Colts game to now, like, you've had games in London, there's obviously been games in Germany. You're right, it's become more accessible, you can watch it. But I think, like, even 2 or 3 years ago, if I had said to somebody, oh, I enjoy watching the NFL, like, you'd either get a response of, what the hell are you watching that for? Yeah, or like, yeah, right? Tell us a bit about it. Or like,
yeah,
and that,
even I would do the bar in the club, like, and be, you know, if you know, if I would bring the fire stick up on a Sunday night, like, and it wouldn't be overly busy.
Aye.
And like, what's on a Sunday night? Maybe whenever it's not, you know, in the winter time, there's no Sunday game or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would put on the NFL, like, and you'd have all the regulars in the club, like the likes of Tom O'Hare and Paul Avery and whatever, and they'd be like, Joy, what is this shit you're putting on here? Like, and I was like, this is, you know, just, and it was just funny, like, because now you're actually, they probably will want to watch it now, I suppose, like, and
but it's mad, like, yeah. I need to, it's not that I need to be careful what I say, but I do think, like, there's been maybe in the last 10 or 15 years in London, and I'm talking with fans generally, it has been very London centric, and
yeah,
stuff like this is just, it's mental, like, you're talking, yeah, about Sunday game and stuff there. Is it not sponsored? Yeah. GEA have given me a GEA Go pass for you to watch the stuff in New Orleans. So I'll hit you up with that next week. It's not going to work this week, but I'll get it for you before you go off.
Yeah.
They were like, hold on, you're shot in the Charlie. Yeah, we'll sort them out. So you can definitely watch Down and at least.
That'll be great.
Hopefully, yeah, I'm sure Down will win Ulster, and then, you know.
Hopefully, yeah. We've got a good chance.
From there. If Down win Ulster, as long as Tyrone gets through a few games, I'll be happy enough.
Yeah, as long as we get into Sam McGuire, I'm happy enough.
You fly home for Ulster final, did you?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah?
If needed.
Imagine going into, here, I have to go home to Clonus here for a few days.
Yeah.
St Mary's, you go to St Mary's 2019.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because obviously the whole COVID thing happened. People aren't going to know this. It's really weird because my sister-in-law was in the same year as you in St Mary's.
That's right.
Claire, so shout out to Claire.
Yeah.
Embarrassing moment for her here in this podcast. I can't remember, I think she was like, I, you know, Charlie Smith or something.
I said,
what the hell's going on? Yeah. So I text her like 2 weeks ago and, you know, you went to uni with a superstar and all. She's like, it's a class. Was like, I mean, just, I think they're all sending the best on of them. But one thing about St Mary's, I'm a teacher during the week. I didn't go to St Mary's, but it's very, like, you know, it's a lot of work. It's commitment, it's effort. And I've seen firsthand that there's a real community vibe there as well. Was it John Brody reached out to me the last few weeks from St Mary's?
Yeah.
They've been like your number one fan over the last few
years. Yeah, well, see, to be honest, like, St Mary's have been like so supportive of me even before, like, probably after the under 20 campaign, you know, the John would have been on to me and things they had to, you know, do things to help promote, like, just the college and stuff. And, like, and, you know, like, so, like, honestly, I can't speak highly enough of my time there. I know I'm actually still technically a student there, going up Wednesday to try and sort out how to finish my masters and stuff. And, but yeah, look, yeah, they've been unbelievably supportive. So even if you're doing your teaching practice, like, so you're teaching for no pay, essentially, you're getting no pay, you're actually out money. And then being a county player, you're going home and getting your dinner, and then you're out the door at 5:30. And then you come, you obviously train, and you're, you know, a lav could have trained on to maybe 10 o'clock sometimes. And, you know, you're trying to get home, and you're like, I have a lesson plans to do for tomorrow. And, you know, and you have to keep everything up to date, like, and it's absolutely impossible, like. And only my mum's a teacher, I wouldn't go through it, like, because she really had me with the paperwork side of things, like, and I've no problems with saying that now, like, but I wouldn't go through it without her, like, so it is quite tough, but, like, at the same time, it's so worth it, like, I wouldn't have changed my time with her for anything in the world, like, I absolutely loved it up there.
My wife's done a master's in St Mary's and speaks very highly of it. She's a teacher as well, so shout out to her.
My mum's actually doing a master's as well this year, and so the supposed was, the two of us, so we're doing two different masters, but we were supposed to graduate on the same day. So
you have to fly home for that, lad.
Yeah. Don't know, we're gonna have a big game, you know, to try and get into the playoffs, and then you're like, nah, I'll go home from a graduation here. No,
that'll go down well.
Yeah, I don't think it would today.
But, like, honestly, it's cool because, like, obviously, first off, like, you finished your teaching practice.
Yeah.
graduated technically in that. And then you were stubbing for a year and then for a bit.
So I graduated obviously last summer and I signed up to do the masters, and I was actually looking to get a job in the local primary school, and thank God that actually didn't happen now, because I wouldn't have been able to commit to the training.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was...
Because you're driving up and down, like...
I was driving, you know, maybe to Mullingar, Dublin, you know, or all sorts around the country, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, like. And only had the flexibility, and I could say no to work. I could say no to, you know, doing subbing. I could say... I could ask some Marys, you know, can I get out of class here to go and train? They would be like, yeah, go ahead. So, like, it's just... Honestly, it's just having that flexibility was the real reason I was able to get myself in this best preparation to... Whenever I went to Florida, for me, it was about just backing up what I've done and being consistent, and I felt like I was able to do that over the 3 weeks.
Are you going to sub this week?
Yeah, definitely not. I've had a few phone calls. I'm like...
Have you had phone calls to sub last week?
A few principals saying, Charlie, I imagine I'm not going to get you for subbing anymore. You know, and they would have been torturing me. I'm like, you know, I would have been getting phone calls to say, you know, Charlie, you know, can you come and go into school? I'm like, no, sorry, I'm training today. I'm like... During the day, I'm like, yeah, I'm training during the day here. And they were like, what? And I was like, that's what I was doing. Like, that was the commitment I had, like, to try and make the most of this opportunity.
And that's the one thing I will say about the lads that you were with. You're training during those days.
Yeah.
And you're all home now, and, you know, we're all rooting for everybody to be signed.
Yeah,
I'm really interested to see if those lads play over the next few weeks, because they've been playing professionally or training professionally the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Be lighting it up. So all the best of them, and hopefully by the time this is out, there's been news there. Obviously news for yourself. You came and met us in Dungannon.
Yeah.
I was more blown away by how tall both you and Rory Beggan were. I was like, my dad didn't give me enough milk high growing up. Never drank milk growing up. Now I massively regret it. I'm like a foot shorter than I should be. That was good cracking out. Did it not hit you, but were you sitting there now going, Jesus, like, was it maybe right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a massive crowd, but
it was just...
I had people texting me after going, like, that lad seems really sour. Like, I was like, yeah, he's a good lad. Like,
no, it's just like being asked to do these types of things. Like, it is nice. Like, and obviously, you know, like, just being like, you're playing football, you don't get asked to do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that that's what it drives me. What drives me, obviously, is, you know, trying to be the best version of myself. Like, but, you know, it's the things that come along with that. Like, it is nice to be asked to do, you know, things like that. But yeah, it's just a bit mad, like, you know.
It was great crack at night. I definitely appreciate you, and I think you're dabbing up as well to Dungannon. Is that your first time in Dungannon now, is it?
Could have been for
good
Friday
spot,
night
like.
Anyway.
Good spot. Yeah. It's no nearer your Marybridge, like, but sure.
Jeez, I wouldn't say that now.
We'll definitely do the game when you've won about 5 or 6 rings. We will come back to that in a bit. So you literally left the week after you go to Florida, right?
Yeah.
I know you were in Boston beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, fully, because I only thought about this like the last couple of weeks. You boys flew home. Obviously, you flew home with Sian. We'll talk about the Saints in a bit. But, like, did you find any of that difficult? Like, going to the States, like, you're a young man, like, you know, like, leaving your family behind. Like, I'm 33 years of age, and I'm at the point now where when I was in Vegas for a week, like, by the end of it, yes, I was at the Super Bowl. It was class, and I loved it, and I felt very fortunate to be there. But I was ready to go home. Like, I was maybe homesick or whatever, but, like, was there any, like, not negativity, but was there any, like, daunting feeling, like, oh my God, I'm going out here by myself? Or was it all just you lads sort of coming together?
Well, whenever you're going out with, you know, the group of Irish, I suppose that there was, what, 5 or 6?
Aye.
Sorry, 5 or 6 of us, including Tig, like, and you know, obviously Harry's from England as well. So we're all come from the same background, same cultures, like. So for me, it was like, you know, we trained together. We all had a good relationship and a good bond. So it wasn't that difficult, like. Mm. Obviously, and you didn't know how long you're going to be out for, like, so you knew you were coming home at some stage, but obviously this time, you know, you're going out on your own, and you're going to potentially be out there for 10 or 11 months, like, and, you know, but at the end of the day, I can see what I'm doing, like, I can see the vision that I'm going down, and, like, I know what's coming, I know I'm going to be on my own, but at the same time, I know what I'm doing, I'm going out to try and play in the NFL, like, you know, how do you want to go home after
doing
that, like, exactly, so... But obviously it'll be tough, like, to, you know, make adjustments, because I've never lived away from home before. But I'm ready for it, like, you know.
It's like going to uni without, like, you know,
yeah,
being able to get the bus home at the weekend and get the clothes washed. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I go home 2 or 3 times a week anyways, and you're paying rent because of football, like, and stuff. Like, but yeah, it's all worth it, like.
Oh, God, I do miss those days, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have enough time. I mean, we'll definitely talk about this man now, but I don't think we have enough time to talk about, like, Tig and your kicking and stuff, because, I mean, yourself... him, everybody, like, I mean, stuff like this wouldn't be happening without their help.
No, definitely not.
I find even on a personal level, being able to collab, do different things the last couple of months post Super Bowl was class.
Yeah.
So like, I can't thank him enough for that. And I think people have seen that, and hopefully the game here has benefited from that. But in terms of his, not ironically, leadership, because his leader kicking, but like mentorship as well, like, yeah, being able to mentor you. And because I've seen what Ty's done for the last couple of years with guys going to college, and now it's this, and he's had that opportunity with the IPP now.
Yeah,
I know you're extremely thankful to him, but how have you found sort of working with him the last year?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, I know I wouldn't be here without new leader kicking and without Tig, like, and Owen as well. Mm-hmm. Just all what they have done, like, they've just provided an opportunity, really, for me to, essentially, all I wanted to do was just try out kicking in American football, like, because obviously the fact that I was a huge fan of sport, the fact that I just wanted to get away from the football, just to, not even that, like, I was thinking about, like, you know, parking it or whatever. That wasn't the plan. Yeah. I just wanted to go and try it out and try it and see what it was about. And if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in right now. So just the fact that Tig had the vision to say, look, Irish lads can kick, and I knew you could kick and just needed the opportunity to do it. And, you know, all the sacrifices he's made to, you know, help make this possible, where essentially, you know, he's taking a risk to start up later kicking, like, and
yeah,
you know, I'd say, you know, fair dues to him, like, because, you know, again, I definitely wouldn't be here without it, like, and just the whole mentorship and the way he's helped me grow is, like, just from somebody who was, like, probably I was playing for Down last year, but I don't know if I was mentally ready for it, but now I feel like I'm mentally ready to go to the NFL, like, and just that growth that I've had over this past year has been down to, you know, the help I've done with him and with, obviously, a sports psychologist up in St Mary's as well that I've been working with, like, so, yeah, just the growth from that has just been, just his mentorship has just been invaluable. Like,
you can see that, Liam, when you're talking there, like, he definitely, not that he didn't come across as confident or motivated there before, but you can, yeah, you can see that assurance in your voice.
Yeah,
I owe him a lot as well. Like, you know, even we'll talk about Conor Mangan in a minute, but like the combine, Everton, like even before that, like doing different things with him and being able to see sort of firsthand. I was very briefly at a camp once in Galway, and I'm just really excited to see the next sort of crop now as well. Yeah. Obviously, like,
there's a lot more interest now, so it's going to be interesting, see, you know, who comes out, and I'd say there's definitely a few legs in Ireland that, you know, are capable of, you know, making big steps with American football, like, definitely.
It hit me when I was in Tesco and Dungannon in mid to late January, and I had people asking about you and Rory and Mark, etc. Yeah. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah, I had family there. Like,
because nobody really knows, like, about American football in Ireland. It just feels like it's just constantly growing now.
It's really cool to see. Like, and even, like you mentioned, and I think it is important to say this, like, Ty, he's literally traveled around the island. He's flat to the mat. So, and yeah, I know you're very busy as well.
I think he's had his new car for like a week and he's already done over 2,000 miles or something like that. No, honestly.
Well, I have a lease and I've definitely went over the mileage allowance already. Don't tell anyone. I'll probably name drop you now to try and get help with that. I want to talk about James Cook in a minute. I got to talk about Dropkick Mangan. Yeah. I told him he needs to trademark the 60-piece McNugget thing on a t-shirt. And also, if you haven't trademarked Saint Smith by like the end of the week, we're definitely doing
it. The alliteration it does, isn't it?
It's class, lad. Yeah. It became very evident very quickly that you lads were going to stay in the US. But first off, the combine, I'll probably say it, like, the work that Connor done that weekend was 10 out of 10. Like, I felt like I was there, but I was like, look, sure, send me over whatever you have and we'll try and do it every weekend. Like, I was like sitting just the whole weekend. He was great crack, but it made me feel like I was so close to it. But then, like, when did you realize there was like 5,000 people watching you at the combine? Because I'm telling you, the day after that was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
like, I was in Spar getting the coffee and somebody asked, like, do you reckon Charlie get signed? I'm like, I don't know. Say anything, shut up. Like,
yeah
like, there's that, but then there's also like, you lads were waiting the whole weekend for the combine. I had an idea that morning that wasn't going to be on TV, so I'm like, going, oh, geez, I'm going to miss this now.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually didn't really know, to be honest. We thought it was going to be on TV, and then, obviously, we were so busy the combine day, we had the interviews, and...
All in one day?
Yeah, we had the, I forget what test was, aptitude, I think it was called, aptitude test, like, don't ask me what that was about, like...
Here, I mean, you done all right, like...
if I passed it, I don't know, even know if I passed it or not, but all I know is I got signed, so I'm happy enough, either way.
You flew in the Saturday evening, from memory, and then Sunday morning, all that crack was going on. You all you lads literally met the 32 teams, if I'm led to believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, I think it was maybe around 9, 10 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
You went out. And I remember, because Connor was sending through photos, how the hell do you stay so focused there? I seen you on your phone. Was it like airplane mode or what?
No. I was watching a video of the kicks I made on my phone at that time.
On the field, aye.
Yeah, I was watching just all the kicks I made, like all some of my best balls, and it was just like a reassuring thing that, you know, you can do this. Like, it's just more so just go out there and believe in yourself. Like, and I did do that. Like, honestly, that's what it was like. And probably you're changing music as well on your phone and a bit of 80s music, whatever. But that, honestly, that's what it was. I made like a highlight reel of all my best balls I've kicked, and just goes like, look what you can do. Like, you know what I mean? So that just helped me give the belief. And it's just really about staying in the moment of like just constantly focusing on your breath and, you know, just chilling out. Like, I was saying, like, I have is, you know, like lightness, not tightness. So like, actually go out and enjoy it. Keep things light, keep things, you know, fun and lighthearted. And if you're thinking about, like, you know, Jesus, like, this is the Comets, 32 teams, you get all tight, and then, you know, you're not going to make kicks. Like, that's just the
loosey goosey.
So yeah, it's just all about, and it's always easier said than done. Like, you were feeling it, like, but just whenever I had it was time to kick, I knew I had the work done. I had the belief in myself. I had the process in my routine where I could just lock in on the kicks, and I wasn't thinking about the external factors, even though that you could just see cameras all around you. Like, but whenever it's that your time, you're just focused on your spot. And you just focus on making sure you swing, you have your natural swing, and I felt like that's what I did, like, for obviously for most of my kicks.
You lads obviously were the first crop, and I remember from one of those documentaries, I think it was either you or somebody else said, like, you know, you lads are the pioneers. You want to set the standard for the future people that go and do this.
Yeah.
But surely, like, yourself and the rest of you lads must be proud knowing the fact that, like, you were the first ones to do this, because looking back at it now, it does seem a wee bit surreal. Like it's class to see, but I'm like, geez, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah,
like,
you know? Proud, but also like feeling lucky and grateful too, because this was the first year that it opened.
Yeah.
And it was obviously the fact that Tiger was, you know, was in with the APP. And, you know, obviously, like, say for example, if the APP want somebody from France, would they have seen what I can do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, you know, just that Tiger had the opportunity to look at us, just goes, you know, I have a couple of guys here back home that I've seen kick. They're capable of kicking in the combine if they can get the right training, the right support, and the right commitment. And that's what I feel like, you know, I did over the few weeks. Like, so it was just an unbelievable journey, like, just to get where I've been to. And I just can't speak highly enough of my journey. Like, it's just been the best experience of my life.
You were hypothetically going home after the combine, so when did you find out you were going to be staying? And I guess, when, like, how did you find those 2 weeks in between? Because look, I'm not a scout.
Yeah.
You could see like not just you, but the rest of the lads, like, the improvement that was happening in that time after that was crazy, Charlie. It was great to see. Like, it was amazing. Like,
well, you probably thought you were, like, we actually didn't even know we were going home until, you know, we weren't going home. We thought we were going home essentially the day after we kicked at the combine.
Yeah.
And then we found out the night of the combine that we were staying for another 3 weeks, and we had the chance to kick at the pro day if we weren't staying before it. I just remember thinking, Jesus, like, this is another opportunity to impress. And I got stopped by a team after the combine. I was like, God, this is actually so surreal. This could potentially happen. I just kept hearing whispers of, you know, things, and getting phone calls from teams, and interest from teams, and through the agent and things like that, and through my own phone as well, and getting voicemails. And
just ringing you up and saying, what's the crack, eh?
Yeah, like, it was... Like, I just remember thinking, like, God, because to be honest, those 10 days were actually, like, were tough, like, because you just didn't know what you were going into. Like, you're like, am I going to get signed, am I not? Because we were free to be signed after the combine.
Yeah.
And those days were actually tough. And then Tag had the Steelers event at home, and you're probably, like, you're going out to train. You're like, God, I don't know what to do here, because I could get a phone call to come to the team tomorrow, and I want to be sure I'm fresh for that. And obviously then, once you finally got your head around, I'm kicking at the pro day, I was like, right, then, you know, let's go here. This is another opportunity to impress. And, you know, I felt like that's what all five of us did, you know, at the pro day. And actually all the 15 of the lads, you know, it was a really, really good day to experience with all the lads that we've trained with. Like, we were training with, obviously, you know, the other position groups as well, and we were with each other all the time. So it was great to see everybody do the thing at the one day.
I really enjoyed the pro day, just from watching it from afar. Big shout out to Mangan as well, again, for the GOAT coverage. Yeah. It was great to see Dara have an opportunity to punt as well.
Yeah.
Mark Jackson's punts were class that day as well.
Yeah. To be honest, me and Roy were in, started probably getting ready for field goals. I was thinking about doing some punts, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm not a punter.
Just get
like,
ready.
Yeah, just get ready for my kicks. And I remember I had a 60-yarder off sticks with like an 80% swing, and I was like, God, like did that really give me the confidence to say, God, because probably sometimes you get to 60. Previously, what I would have done is you just swing too hard and you can just pull it a wee bit to the left. I was like, remember hitting that ball? I was like, you don't have to absolutely smash this. Like, just go ahead and hit your normal swing. And it was good then from I suppose then. So yeah, it was just that time to have that was really beneficial, I think.
You're gonna think I'm lying here, right? That's when it hit me. I think it was Rory and yourself hit them, and I was like, Jesus, here we go. This is happening. Friday the 22nd of March,
mm-hmm.
You got a phone call. When I text you, I text you on the Monday saying, I know you're going to like work out the scenes. I'm not going to say anything. And I got a text like, put it out, and I was like, oh Jesus, I don't want to put this out. Because I felt like, oh, I'm going to put pressure on you now. But do you know what happened? Like, and maybe this is me like, all wise up, but I genuinely think once it came out that you were going to work out with him, the whole country got behind you. I've never seen it like it, lad. It was classic. So I know it to a point, it probably, you're perfect.
And people are like probably expecting like you're there and you're just going to get signed no matter what. Like, and like probably didn't understand what I was going into. And I was like, I have to work out here for them to impress, for them to sign me. Like, and
yeah,
probably like we're, I suppose we've had the pressure of, you know, obviously everybody knew what was going on at the combine and stuff like that. So for me, it didn't really make too much of a difference, like because of that, with that pressure before where people knew what was going on. Mm. And I know obviously in the GAA, everyone's like hush-hush culture, like, you know, whereas like, I'm just supposed to have the experience of that dealing with the combine. Like, so it really didn't make that much of a difference on me, to be honest.
That shows you how level-headed you are, seriously. Because I was sitting like an 11-year-old on Christmas Eve, like, oh my God, like this is nuts, the whole week. Paul was brilliant, but I'm looking at, I've known Paul for a couple of years. For people that aren't aware, he's like Harrison Bucker's agent.
Yeah, like Harrison Bucker's probably like the best top two kickers in the league, I think, with Justin Tucker. Like,
And Mark is signed to his agent as well, which is awesome to see. And
yeah,
Paul, it seems like a great guy, warned the entire team there. So big thanks to ProStar Sports for their help. One thing I wanted to talk to you about was, so you're in Florida. Do you go out to New Orleans by yourself? So you're flying out, yeah?
Yeah.
That's not easy, right, for a start. Your flights were delayed, yeah?
Yeah, so I'll actually talk you through that. So I was supposed to fly out to New Orleans on Wednesday. I was supposed to fly out to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I arrived at the airport at 3 o'clock. And I'm sitting in the airport till 8 o'clock because the flights have been delayed two or three times. And I'm on to the Saints and saying, look, you know, my flight's been delayed here again. So then they booked me one set of flights. And then they're like, right, okay, now we'll book you another set.
Mm.
And then the flights were delayed again. And they booked me another set. And I was like, no, these are delayed again. Like the Sarasota airport was just a nightmare that day. And it says, you know what, look, we'll fly in tomorrow morning. And the flights were supposed to be at 6 a.m. So I wake up in the morning and wake up at 3 because I knew I was flying out around 6 or so.
And, you sleep,
So I was awake from 3 o'clock and I saw my flights. Open up my email, it says, your flight has been delayed to 11:30.
Oh, lad.
I'm like, what is going on here? Like, so I was awake from 3 a.m. and I arrived at the airport then, I was told at 7:30, I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, am I going to travel today or not? Like, I honestly didn't have a clue. I was like, right, get yourself to Tampa for 9:30. So then the flight was at 9:30, and I'm sitting in Sarasota at 7:30.
How far is that from?
So Sarasota to Tampa is an hour drive. So I arrived to Tampa airport at 8:50 or so to catch a 9:30 flight. I'm absolutely panicking, FaceTiming Tig, like I'm FaceTiming my mum. So where do I go here? And I worked it out to myself. Normally I'd be one of those people in the airport who would just
sit back
and let everybody else do it and I'd just follow. Like, but I just took the initiative, obviously I had to, and just got through security, people let me skip them. And then I had maybe about 10 minutes just to relax for the flight. Like, and then I got to New Orleans, had my physical, had met the doctor.
The same day.
It was just, and my bag was already sent to New Orleans the night before, so I had to... It was just an absolute nightmare. Like,
I don't mean this as a negative. How do you keep level headed there? Because I was sitting at the house, like.
Yeah, I'll just go back to again. You know, it's not my control.
Yeah.
So you can actually, there's a thing I read in the book. It was like, if your stimulus and your response, or your stimulus is like your brain taking in information, and then you control how you react to those things. So I was just like, you know what, this is all out of my control. And I just let it happen. I was like, you know what, if I get annoyed about this, it's only going to affect my workout. So I just stayed level-headed, stayed calm, just based off the fact that I know I can control how I react to things.
Mm.
And that's actually really helped. That way of being has really helped me in my kicking as well. Because if you miss a kick previously, I might have played in your mind in the next kick, but I'm like, everybody misses, like, do you know what I mean? If you miss a kick, so be it. Just go on the next one with a fresh head and, you know, just wipe all those thoughts from the last kick and take the learnings from it. And that's actually helped me into my kicking as well. So, yeah, go back then. So, I'll go to, and it's the Friday then, the 29th. So, it's local day for New Orleans. So, that's where, like, they take in all, like...
Oh, like the LSU ones and all, yeah?
LSU, Tulane, there's a couple of other colleges.
I've got a Blue Wave t-shirt, I've got to give it to you.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, they're all doing their workouts on local day, because I was supposed to work out on Thursday. Mm. And obviously, I couldn't because of the
things. You're rocking up to the local day, like.
Yeah, I went to the local day, yeah.
And, I'm sorry, that's funny, like, because you're rocking up all these, like, Louisiana ones.
Yeah.
Biggest day of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bigger, like, let's be honest, it's bigger than, like, your A levels is bigger than going to the uni. Like, A levels
don't even go there. Like,
don't even. Yeah. So like, this is not like the beep test in St. Coleman's, but like this is big
this
time.
This is where an NFL contract's at stake. Like, and,
so, like I was, but I was sitting like I. So it, I found out at like, I don't know, 4 o'clock this time. So talk me like that morning. So you go in, you kick. Like what happens?
I got my breakfast and then I got lifted by a Saints personnel. His name was Grant, and took to the Saints facility and says, look, I was talking to Coach Rizzi then and Coach Allen as well and Coach Phil, and they were saying, look, you know, we're going to work out these lads first, so then you'll go after. So then they worked out all the other position groups, and then there's actually another kicker there as well. He was from Tulane University.
Okay.
And we were sort of kicking a wee bit together then in the warm-up. Mm. And then he had his workout, and then there's like, Charlie, well, we're going to leave you till last then. So I was just, you know, waiting for them.
Sweet.
But like, I was well used to that just up from the pro day. Like, we had to wait all day to kick on the pro day. So that's just the life of a specialist. So like, I went to the last day and kicked in front of, you know, all the, you know, the big personnel at the Saints. Like, and it was like just kick. And it was like quite a different from the combine where you're kicking and you had like 5 minutes break. It was like you kick, and then 10, 15 seconds later, you're getting ready again. And I was like, it was only really lasted about 15 minutes, but our...
How many did you have? Like, was it 10, 15 kicks?
Maybe it was about 15 or so. 15. I don't even know, to be honest. It was just constant. Like, it was like just quick fire. And then they had their kickoffs after. And I didn't know what was happening after that.
I heard you were that good. They didn't want you to leave the facility. That's what I heard. is that wrong or is that true?
They locked me in, yeah. no, I'm only joking. So yeah, I finished up my workout and they didn't say anything new about you're getting a contract or you're going to offer your contract or not.
Tight lips.
I went to, they says, look, do you want to go get a shower? And this was like maybe like 11 or so, half 11. And my flight's to leave New Orleans is at 1:15. So I'm like, what's going on here? Like, am I going to get offered or not? And there was like a 10-15 minute limbo where I'm like, you know, getting my shower, my mind is absolutely racing. And then there was a fella, Harry, from the Saints. Harry came in and told me, yeah, we're going to get you shower. I'm going to take you upstairs, you know, to get the paperwork. So, and they're making a start at the paperwork now. And I'm like, here we go. Like, but at the same time, I didn't want to get ahead of myself because I didn't actually see the contract on the table. And then I go upstairs and they take my passport off me. They're scanning it. And I'm just talking to a couple of the Saints personnel while the people who are sorting out the contract, they're getting the contract ready. And it was like kind of like a limbo of like 20 minutes, half an hour of like just waiting for it to come. Like, and you're just talking away and like you're talking about janitor stuff, but the only thing, there's only place, one place where your mind was like,
where's the pen?
Where can I sign here? And then, yeah, it came then and I was on the phone to Paul then, and Paul went through the contract with me and says, look, it's all good, it's all good with me. You know, you're free to sign if you want. I goes, sure as I am, you know. So yeah, and just the whole support that the Saints have shown me, like, you know, Coach Rezzi came and watched us in USF two or three weeks maybe before the combine.
Mm.
Just to show, he just came around and looked at us, and that showed me from day one, it's like, you know, Coach Rezzi is interested in the APP, you know. And I didn't hear anything from the Saints until I woke up from a meditation and yoga and looked at my phone and Paul sent me a Saints logo, and John Baker, Paul's partner.
That's the most Paul text ever. Saints logo.
Yeah, and then John says, they're flying you into New Orleans next Wednesday. Then it was then Thursday. And, you know, all being well, that, you know, you're going to be offered a contract. I'm like, this is insane. Like, I just woke up from yoga and meditation, like, and I was like getting and seeing that there. And the yoga hadn't actually finished, so I was trying to stay calm. And it was like, my heart was absolutely racing. But yeah, it was just unbelievable. Like,
here, like, the reaction here was nuts. Like,
yeah.
One of the biggest differences, I think, between, I know you've done, like, we haven't even talked about lately at all yet. You've been on different podcasts.
Yeah.
I think the reason I appreciate you being on this is we can just talk about this. The beauty about your position is you're always gonna be going up against someone, and it's a two-man race in OTAs over the next few months. Mm-hmm. How excited? Like, I'm not gonna, like, look, that's what the NFL is. How excited are you to go up and really just focus on yourself and get ready for that challenge?
You summed it up there. That's what I'll do. That's what I've done from day dot, is focus on myself and not compare myself to anybody. You know, like, you know, just through training with Mark and with Rory, especially, because the three of us are going for kicking. Like, Mark's got a completely different swing to me, and Rory's got a different swing to me. And I've never once said, you know what, I want to try and swing like Mark or swing like Rory. I just want to swing like, you know, like Charlie.
Mm.
And, you know, whenever I do go up against, you know, Blake Ruby, like, you know, that's just the element of it. Like,
apparently, I think he's Notre Dame as well.
That's right, yeah. He went to Notre Dame, yeah. So, look, that's just the reality of the NFL. Like, you know, I'm not going there to, I don't want to sit in the practice squad. Like, I want to play. Like, that's what my dream was. If I was told that you're just going to sit in the practice squad and you're never going to play in the NFL, will I be doing it? I don't know. I really want to play, like, do you know what I mean? So, like, that's just the reality of it. And, like, if I just keep focusing on myself, we'll see where it takes me. If it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not, and I have to wait a year or two maybe, then so be it. I'm still young. I'm only 22, but I want
to play. You're a young buck, huh?
Yeah, that's the saying. The tag loves it. The young buck, like, and
does he say that as well? He didn't tell me that. There,
yeah, he always puts it up in the stories. The young buck, and he's never once called me it. Yeah, so it's funny.
Just imagine playing the Chiefs week one kickoff. Lewis Rees Salmon. There you go.
Yeah,
I've got the schedule here. Like, is the
Chiefs, look, away?
I know we're going a long way down the road here, right? But
yeah,
is there any team you'd look at and go, I'd love to play in Australia? Like, is there any stadium you're like, oh, I'd love to play here? Are you just like excited to just be there?
Yeah, I suppose probably the first game I watched was in Dallas, the Green Bay Packers and the Packers.
In AT&T, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just the biggest stadium in the league, I think.
105,000. And it's covered as well.
Yeah, so. And I remember watching that. I was like, God, that stadium's unbelievable. And that's obviously taken away from the fact that, you know, the Superdome, that wasn't including that in that one. But yeah, that's the one team you're like, whoa, this looks pretty nice. Like, obviously Atlanta as well looks pretty good. Going up to Green Bay as well would be pretty nice. You know, with Kansas City, we're all like the stadiums of all the history. Like, and it's those are probably the pick of the bunch now. Obviously the Superdome, like, it's 73,000, and
it's class.
I remember watching the games with Drew Brees and in the playoffs, and I just remember the commentators could barely hear themselves talking with the noise in the stadium. And I was like, God, like, that atmosphere is incredible. Like, imagine playing a playoff game in the Superdome. Like,
yeah.
Like, bring it on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that could be reality. Like, you know, and that just excites me so much. Like, honestly,
he's a lovely lad in person as well. So he'll love you. Yeah. And then you got, like, I mean, in that division, you got the Falcons as well, indoors arena as well.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that happen, and obviously all the best with that. There, a couple of ones to wrap up. Neil O'Donoghue.
Yeah.
Dan Whelan, yourself. I met Neil in November,
mm-hmm.
and just don't do what he done. Don't go to America for 40 years and then come home. I'm joking. Like, he was lovely. Like,
yeah,
and
yeah. I listened to his documentary as well. It was brilliant.
Thanks very much. Yeah. That was all Lachlan Hart.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. And I know, I think he was Dan texting me last week as well. Like, yeah,
he actually texted me Friday night as well after the late and. He was, you know, we were having a laugh about because I said about being the first Irish born, Irish raised, but then as Dan said that he was too, and I'm like, yeah, we know that, but for me it was like
IPP.
The Irish trained,
yeah,
was where I was trained in Ireland essentially, and then obviously my first time going out to the States was in Florida, so like being essentially the first to do that, you know, to get trained home in Ireland and to go through the IPP, you know, being the first kicker and punter to come through the IPP, it's a nice one to have, like, and. Obviously, please God, I'm not the only one to come through, you know, that batch this year, essentially, because I don't think it will be.
Hopefully, you meet him in Green Bay this year.
We talked actually about meeting him maybe in San Diego out in the summer, maybe going out to kicking camp, essentially. So
he seems like a lovely lad.
Yeah, and, he is. From what I've seen so far, yeah.
Different journey to yourself as well. Like,
yeah.
Interesting in the sense of he was in the XFL and now he had a great first season, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen to you over this season. Very quickly, finally, like late mental.
Yeah, just whenever you're told to go behind the curtains, and you're like. Why am I standing behind a set of curtains here? And it's just open and just see all these GAA jerseys, and it was just the crowd and like everybody clapping. I'm like, what are they clapping for? Like, it was just somebody like kicking a ball, like, do you know what I mean? So yeah, it was nice. Yeah, and obviously
your parents all in the crowd as well, aye?
Yeah, they were there in the crowd, and Tig and Sheila were there as well, and my two sisters were there as well. So yeah, it was nice to have them there.
Emotional, lad. I say your mom and dad were very emotional.
Yeah, they were more buzzing, I think, than I was. And called up my dad, like, typical Irish man, like, and every 2 seconds he was just whipping out his old iPhone 6 or whatever, and just going up to the likes of Joe Bradley and Jarrett Burns, and I just saw everybody there. It's like, will you get a take a photo, take a photo. And I actually, it was after I went, and I see him get the phone out and about to tap somebody. I just grabbed the phone off and put it in my pocket. I was like, Dad, you stop this, please. He's like, you know, just let us sit here in peace. And it was nearly like a down show because the 87 minor team was there.
It's great to see. Like, I'm not going to lie, there's no point in me lying, but it's class to see. Like, because Patrick Kelly seems like a really, really nice lad as well.
Like, yeah, the green room was just down people. Like, and it was just nice to get talking to them.
What's Brawley like?
Yeah, he's some crack. Like, I remember just, you know, I loved the way, just listening to him. And he was on the late, and you know, Patrick didn't even have to ask him a question. He sat and talked for 2 minutes. Like, he's just sitting there thinking, that's Joe Bradley. And it was great to see him back, you know, on the screens in RTE. Like, and hopefully, you know, he continues to do that, like, because he's golden TV. Like,
I was at that game in Crook whenever the Monaghan match, whenever he the infamous rant. Yeah, and I didn't see it until I got home that day. I never forget it. But it's raining in Mayo Bridge. What's, like, what are you going to miss about home? Like,
Probably just family and friends and my dog as well. Yeah, look, it's going to be a transition. Like, you know, obviously I look forward to, you know, meeting this rookie class of this year who, you know, who come into the Saints and, you know, making friends with the specialists as well. And but, you know, you're not going to have as many Irish out there, you know, to just essentially do the things that you're interested in. And I'm very good at going in and making friends, like, but just the comforts of saying, here, come on for a coffee, or come on for this or that, or... You know, you obviously that's not going to be there anymore, but I know what I'm doing, like, so I can see the bigger picture of it all. But it will be an adjustment, like, and living on your own as well, like. But yeah, look, I'm ready for, like, you know, I've thought about all of this beforehand. I'm like, am I willing to do this? And I'm like, absolutely, because I know what's going on. I'm going to the NFL. Like,
it's no different to a teacher going to Dubai or something for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously it's way different, but I mean, going away from home, like, do you know what I mean? It's the same thing in that sense. But you'll find somebody from here in the order. You'll find somebody within 2 minutes. I met someone from Dundalk in Vegas at the Super Bowl. I was like, are you serious? You're like,
Joke.
You missed the food, though. I hear you're a big seafood fan, so.
Yeah. Don't even start there. I hear there's like, all New Orleans have all this like sort of
gumbo
food.
And all. Like, they were giving out shrimp at Radio Row. So like at Radio Row, the following year Super Bowl committee are always there at the stall, and they were giving out
shrimp. Like my typical, I actually love Italian food and just your typical, like, you know, your chicken curries, homemade chicken curries and stuff like that. I'll miss that. But yeah, people are sending me about all this seafood, not like, get away from me, like,
we'll send you a patty box.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We will We'll do it at some point. Super Bowl in New Orleans, if you're not playing in it, you gotta come on Radio Row, lad. Stay for a month and then come on. But we're joking already, we're all staying at your gaff because the hotel, you see the hotel prices, you know, Mardi Gras on the same week.
It's like
$7,000 for a hotel. We're all panicking. Like, I don't know what we're gonna do.
Yeah. Is it on the same week? Because
apparently it's on the same week as Super Bowl. So,
oh my god, imagine we're playing it.
It's funny because we had one of Paul's other clients, Sean Clifford, in.
Yes.
Great crack. So hopefully, we'll definitely get you in Radio Row for the crack if you're there.
And that's actually that's insane because it's in New Orleans this year.
And we'll be there the whole week before for the crack. Oh my god, that'll be mad. Yeah. It'll be. We're watching the National League on the Saturday morning somewhere, watching down against someone.
Down against Marlin or something.
Well, we'll see. Just lastly here, you know, I don't like. I'm sure you realize, like, but everyone is buzzing for you. But like we're all massively proud. I don't want to cry here. So like, just we're massively proud for you, lad. Like, no matter what happens here, you've completely. Not only changed the game, but I think you've changed your perception of the sport here. And I know, like, Tig and everyone as well, like, but the fact that you're going over here now and doing this is just, it's mental. So we can't wish you anything but the very, very best.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for all the promotion you do for us as well. And as well, appreciate it, like, so.
I appreciate you, lad. You got a massive pop in Belfast the other night. You weren't even there and everyone was cheering for you, you know, like, like, look, no matter what happens, everybody's always here for you. And, you know, like, we're not too far away, you know, so.
Yeah.
Like, can't wish you anything but the very, very best of luck. And before you know it, it'll be week one, lad. It's gonna fly in.
Yeah, I suppose bring it on. I just can't wait to get going now.
Charlie, we will chat to you soon again. Hopefully, you know, you'll be sitting. We'll not see you in Radio Row because you'll be in the press conferences for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but
big time.
I have a feeling we'll chat very soon. You should definitely have a homecoming. during the summer, I think. 100%. Yeah. See the crack. Charlie Smith, Gourmet Moggets. Chat to you soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah, Gourmela, thank you.
Thank you.